I have observed about the mothers that I have encountered in my life. They are always on call. When their little ones or big ones have trouble, a lot of times the first person that they call is the mom. Moms are called to work out situations, like help with scraped elbows, or to resolve disputes about not sharing. But they're also called to deal with situations that are much more serious. An infant with a really high fever that could be fatal. A child that has a condition or a seizure that terrifies the parents. Young moms can experience postpartum depression immediately after giving birth. A mom can get run down trying to care for her kids and keep the house going and care for herself. And I have seen the faces and heard the cries of moms who grieve over their children wandering from the Lord. Sometimes being a mom, I imagine, brings moments where you wonder if you can keep going. You wonder if you will make it. Moms face unique pressures and challenges. And yet each one of us faces unique pressures and challenges because no one experiences life like we do. And so today I thought, what an opportunity to think about how do we deal with the unique pressures and challenges that come into our lives. And when those things come, sometimes questions come into our lives, like, what is God doing when we're going through this trouble? Can anything good come out of it? And how should we respond to it? Well, today we start a new series of messages from an author who was going through a time of intense difficulty in his own life. It's Paul's second letter to the Corinthians. Someone has said, 2 Corinthians was a difficult letter written to a difficult church during a difficult time in Paul's life, and it contains his reflections and direction about going through affliction and depending on God through it. And as we go through the difficulty collectively that we experience during this pandemic, I could think of no better place to go than to Paul's letter, second letter to the Corinthians. Paul had a very extensive relationship with the Corinthians. In fact, many scholars think that 2 Corinthians is actually the fourth letter that he wrote to them. He founded the church in about the year 50, and 18 months later or so, he left to go and minister elsewhere. And so he writes them a letter of encouragement, referred to in 1 Corinthians 5:9 as his previous letter. And then he receives some more news about the church, and so he writes what we now know as 1 Corinthians. And then he sends Timothy to see how things are going, and Timothy returns with news that the church is in disarray and chaos. And so Paul has to change his ministry plans and make a sorrowful visit to the church at Corinth. Upon returning to his base of ministry, we think in Ephesus, he receives news that things have gotten even worse. And so he writes the third letter, now known as the sorrowful letter, referred to in 2 Corinthians 2, verses 3 and 4. And finally, he writes a fourth letter, known to us as 2 Corinthians in the New Testament. All of these address relationships and problems and difficulties and God's help in going through them. And so, as we go into 2 Corinthians today, I hope you will be struck with how quickly Paul starts talking about afflictions and trouble. And today, we seek answers to three questions that we're going to face through our times of trouble. What is God doing when we're going through trouble? Secondly, we will ask the question, what are God's good purposes for us that he accomplishes through trouble? And thirdly, how will we respond to trouble? And one thing that you must know about Paul's relationship to the Corinthians that helps us understand all of what's going on. There were some very powerful and prominent people in the church who opposed Paul. And one of their number one reasons for opposing him was because he suffered. And in that culture, it was believed that leaders or those who were prominent did not suffer. They were above that. They could insulate themselves from that. And so Paul had to write to explain and defend his suffering. So let's see what he says and how he begins as we turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 1 to 11. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus, by the will of God, and Timothy, our brother, to the church of God that is at Corinth, with all the saints who are in the whole of Achaia, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our affliction, so that we may be able to comfort those who are in any affliction with the comfort with which we ourselves are comforted by God. For as we share abundantly in Christ's sufferings, so through Christ we share abundantly in comfort too. If we are afflicted, it is for your comfort and salvation. And if we are comforted, it is for your comfort, which you experience when you patiently endure the same sufferings that we suffer. Our hope for you is unshaken, for we know that as you share in our sufferings, you will also share in our comfort. For we do not want you to be unaware, brothers and sisters, of the affliction we experienced in Asia. For we were so utterly burdened beyond our strength that we despaired of life itself. Indeed, we felt that we had received the sentence of death. But that was to make us rely not on ourselves, but on God who raises the dead. He delivered us from such deadly peril, and he will deliver us. On him we have set our hope that he will deliver us again. You also must help us by prayer, so that many will give thanks on our behalf for the blessing granted us through the prayers of many. So Paul and Timothy address this letter to the church at Corinth and the surrounding area, and they wish grace and peace from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. But then Paul immediately goes into this topic of affliction. Now, what kind of affliction is Paul talking about? Well, one commentator defines the word used here by Paul as troubling circumstances that bring about intense distress or the inward emotion of anguish. And it's most likely that Paul is referring to affliction suffered for the cause of Christ, or because he is preaching the gospel. Suffering is what happens when you preach Christ to a world, the world that is hostile to him. But I think that we can also have good grounds to extend the definition of affliction beyond formal Christian ministry, because Paul does write that God comforts us in all of our afflictions in verse 4. And we can choose to glorify Christ through whatever affliction we face. And when we do that, we engage in a form of Christian ministry. For we may draw others to Christ when we face our afflictions with Christ. So with this in mind, let's go to our questions. What is God doing when we're going through times of affliction or trouble? Well, one action we see repeatedly here is that he comforts us to see us through the affliction. He comforts us. Paul refers to God as the God of all comfort. He comforts us in all affliction. As we abundantly share in Christ's sufferings, we abundantly share in comfort also. What is the nature of this comfort from God? Is it that he comes along and he gives us a pillow to put under our head so we can be a little bit more comfortable? No, it's much deeper than that. To help us think about this, think about being a comforter at a funeral to a bereaved person. What do you do after the funeral is over and you're in the the fellowship hall or wherever. You wait until you have the attention of the bereaved person. And when you get their attention, your face will likely change to an expression of empathy, of sympathy. And you listen to what the bereaved person has to say as they express their grief. And in normal times, you might reach out your hand and put their hand in yours or both your hands to show your compassion, or put your hand upon their shoulder or give them a hug. And though it is not a happy time, the bereaved person experiences strength and encouragement because someone else took time to comfort them. Yet that kind of comfort that we can offer to a bereaved person is just a fraction of the kind of comfort that God offers to us through our afflictions. Paul seems to think that God is the source of all comfort in verse 3. Any comfort that is given ultimately finds its source in God. And God comforts us in all our afflictions, meaning every time that we are afflicted, every time we go through trouble, God meets us with his comforting ministry. But what might this really look like as we're going through our suffering? When it's the middle of the night and we can't sleep, when a young mom is with her child and is struggling to care for the child and deal with the sleep deprivation and the worries of the day. Well, maybe in those moments, a verse of scripture comes to mind. A song or a verse from a song. A word of encouragement. And maybe in those moments, that is the Holy Spirit ministering God's comfort to us. Or all of a sudden, as we're going through trouble, we have this extra measure of strength that we experience and we don't know where it comes from. And maybe God has brought us to mind to another person, and though they don't even know what we're going through, they pray for us. And I find this happens to me where sometimes someone will come to mind and I have no clue what's going on in their lives, but I just start praying for them. And then later, in talking to them, I find that maybe on that particular day, at that moment, they were going through trouble. Those are just a couple of ways that God might comfort us and reach out to us as we go through affliction. God comforts us and encourages us to see us through our afflictions. And notice what else Paul accomplishes in these first verses. He shows suffering is an expected reality for any Christian. Remember how his opponents looked down on him because he suffered? They thought true leaders didn't suffer. But God is a Father of mercies, God of all comfort. That's part of his character, to be there for his people, you and me, when we go through trouble. That's one action of God when we go through affliction. He comforts us to see us through them. But a second action that God takes that we see in this passage is found later in verses 8 to 10. Sometimes God delivers us from our afflictions. He delivers us to release us from affliction. And in verses 8 to 10, Paul wants to impress upon the Corinthians the life-threatening situation he had faced at some time while he was in Asia. Just after our passage in verse 12, we will see Paul begin to explain why he changed his travel plans. And apparently there were some that accused him of being a wishy-washy person. Oh, he just changes his plans willy-nilly and doesn't keep to his word. And maybe they also heard about this time of affliction that he went through and thought it was no big deal. But look at how he describes his trouble starting in verse 8. "We do not want you to be unaware, brothers and sisters, of the affliction we experienced in Asia, for we were so utterly burdened beyond our strength that we despaired of life itself." So they were going through something that caused them to say, "We are not going to make it. This is the end." Now, we don't know specifically what Paul is referring to, and lots of speculations have been made. Some say maybe he was thinking about his conflict with the Corinthians, and it caused him such mental strain that he didn't think he would make it through. Or maybe he was facing some serious illness that he didn't know if he'd recover from. But it seems more likely that Paul is describing a time when he and his ministry team were subject to mob violence, or they were imprisoned and they did not think they would survive it. For in verse 9, he says, "Indeed, we felt that we had received the sentence of death." And I don't think that that's referring to a formal sentence from a court that pronounced the death penalty upon him, because you don't feel that you've got a sentence of death from a court. You know if the court has sentenced you to death. But they felt, with everything that was going on around them, that it was their time to die, that they were not going to make it. But look what happens in verse 10. "But God delivered us from such a deadly peril, and he will deliver us. On him we have set our hope that he will deliver us." Again, three times deliverance in one verse. And this is the other major action that God takes when we suffer. He sometimes delivers us from those circumstances. Paul experienced deliverance from a situation where he thought he would die. And you and I can maybe think of times in our lives of trouble where we thought there was no way out. But then something happened that we had no control over that released us from that trouble, from that situation, or from that affliction. That is God's delivering work. And these are two of the primary actions that God takes when we're going through troubled times. He comforts us to see us through them, or he delivers us to release us from them. And remember Jesus' prayer in the Garden of Gethsemane. What did he pray? For deliverance from the trouble of the cross. And God the Father said, "No, I will not deliver you, but I will comfort you through this trouble." And he sent angels to minister to him before he was arrested. So that's question number one. What is God doing when we're going through affliction? Question two, what are God's good purposes for us and others through affliction? What can God accomplish as we go through trouble? Two of these are found in this passage as well. The first one is, his comfort enables us to comfort others with his comfort. Paul repeats this a couple of times. Verse 4, "God comforts us in all our afflictions so that we may be able to comfort those who are in any affliction with the comfort with which we ourselves have received from God." So do you see how that works? We go through some sort of affliction and God comforts us. And then we see someone else go through some sort of affliction and we offer to them the comfort that we have received from God. So we don't have to come up with our own comfort or our own resources. We just serve as this channel to them of God's comfort. So maybe someone goes through an affliction that we have had some experience with, and we sympathize with them and then share with them, "This is how God helped me through this." And we encourage them to receive his comfort. Or in verse 6, he says, "If we are afflicted, it is for your comfort and salvation." Now, how would that work? Well, I think what he's referring to here partially is when the Corinthians first received God's salvation. To actually deliver this message to them, Paul had to go through many afflictions. Maybe he was afflicted as he tried to get there to Corinth in the first place. Maybe he faced affliction as he delivered the message to them and faced opposition. Maybe he even shared with them about the way God had delivered him from some of his afflictions. And through these afflictions that Paul talks about, the spark may have been lit in the lives of many of those Corinthians to check this God out that he was talking about. So through his afflictions brought them comfort and salvation. And if you think about your own life, and especially testimonies of people who have impacted you for Christ, I doubt many of those testimonies talked about how great their lives were and how successful they were. Instead, they probably talked about some deep affliction that they were going through, some deep change that they needed to make, some valley that they needed to be rescued from. and you heard about how God brought them through that, and you began to think, maybe this is the God I need. So we can comfort others with the comfort we have received from God when we go through afflictions. That's one good purpose that comes out of our affliction. But the second one is found later, and it goes like this. God teaches us to not rely on ourselves, but on Him through our afflictions. That's another good accomplishment that God can do. So verse 9, indeed, we felt that we had received the sentence of death, but that was to make us rely not on ourselves, but on God who raises the dead. Well, if you're facing death, the only person that you can rely on to get you out of that is God Himself, the one who has power over death. And when we face trouble, like the kind described here by Paul, we almost have nowhere else to turn except to rely on God. And for most of us, something severe has to happen in our lives before we turn to God. If we never had any affliction, if we never had any trouble, many of us would conclude, why do I need God? I can handle life on my own. But when you are under such intense pressure that blows past your resources, you can either sink by trying to handle everything yourself, or you can swim by relying on God. And we do that by turning to Him often in prayer and asking for His help and His wisdom. So, we've seen what God is doing while we go through affliction. He either comforts us to see us through affliction or delivers us to release us from affliction. We've seen two good purposes of God through our affliction. One, we can comfort others with the comfort we've received from God. Two, God teaches us to rely less on ourselves and more on Him. So how can we respond to what we've learned about God today? Well, first of all, we must receive His comfort and deliverance. There are some people who get incredibly stubborn when they go through tough times. They think they can tough it out on their own, that they have to prove to anyone that they can handle anything. Or they might believe or refuse to believe that God even wants to comfort them. Maybe they think that He's punishing them in some way, that they deserve all of this. And yet God is the God of all comfort. So to receive comfort, we actually have to admit we need comfort. Sometimes that can be painful. But if you refuse to admit need and your need for God's comfort, you will either spiral down into a dark place or blow up and cause massive damage in your life and the lives of others. So we need to first receive the comfort and deliverance of God. That's one way to respond. Secondly, we must comfort others with the comfort that we have received from God. When others experience affliction, we offer to them the comfort we receive. So if I look at my life, I can share the comfort that God has lifted me up with some of the experiences that I've gone through, difficult ministry situations, personal health struggles, the birth of our kids, and that moment as a dad when you are completely helpless and the child is being born and you're completely dependent upon the doctors to bring the child and your wife through that moment. The death of both of my parents or other loved ones and persevering through multiple pressures of life. God's comforted me through all of those, and I can pass on that comfort to others as they go through similar things. And sometimes God has delivered me from situations, bringing solutions that I'd never thought of myself, delivering me from stupid decisions I made while I was driving, delivering me from foolish decisions I made with my life. And we pass on to others the truth about God's comfort and God's deliverance. And the third way that we can respond to what we've seen of God today is we must keep learning to rely on God. We need to travel the road from self-reliance to God-reliance. And I posted about this past Thursday, but I think this journey from self-reliance to God-reliance goes something like this. In stage one, we're self-reliant. Life is going along normally, and we convince ourselves we have everything under control. Then stage two, something difficult happens. Some trouble comes into our lives. Something unexpected that we didn't plan for. We can't solve it. It begins to overwhelm us. It doesn't fit into our plans. Stage three, despair. We despair that we can't handle everything by ourselves. We can't figure it all out on our own. We try to keep on top of things, but we find we're falling further and further behind and failing again and again. And some people spend so much time in stage three trying to figure it out on their own and dealing with their own despair because they can't figure it all out. But finally, we may move to stage four, relying on God. We turn it over to God. We say, God, I cannot figure this out on my own. I need your help. I can't get out of this. Which leads to stage five, hope, release, joy. We're not in this alone. God is on our side. God is comforting us. And this journey from self-reliance to God-reliance is not a journey we take once in our life and then we're good. We have to take it again and again and again. But hopefully as we go on in life, the level of our God-reliance continues to grow and the level of our solely self-reliance continues to diminish. So, all that we have learned today can be summed up in this statement. God's involvement in our afflictions accomplish his good purposes in us and others. God's involvement in our afflictions accomplish his good purposes in us and in others. And I pray that today, whatever you are facing, whatever trouble you might be experiencing, whatever affliction you are going through, that you will stop relying solely on yourself and that you will rely on God and call out to others to let them minister to you and to give you the comfort of God. And if you are fine today, but you see others in affliction and you don't have to look far in these days, reach out to them with the comfort that you yourself have received from God. Praise God that we serve a God who is the God of all comfort. And let us pray together. Lord God, I praise you today that you are the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort. And you know intimately what every person who is watching this or here today faces in their life. What trouble, what affliction, what uncertainty. And you care about them all. And you promise to meet any affliction that we go through with your comforting ministry. So help us, Lord, to learn quickly, to turn to you when trouble comes, to rely on you, to trust in you, and to glorify you through whatever we face. And we thank you, Lord God, that you sent Jesus to deal with the greatest affliction we would ever have to deal with, that of our own sin and our separation from you. And as we come to your table now, we celebrate that you endured the greatest affliction anyone would have to suffer, the punishment, the wrath of God on the cross, so that we would not have to bear that. So we give you glory, and we thank you for who you are and pray this in your name. Amen.